host of the outstanding Topic Thunder podcast, part of the Believe Network. Welcome in Dylan Hunsicker. Dylan, how you feeling now? Finals all locked in, and thanks for joining the show.
Oh, yeah, no, man. Thanks for having me. No, I mean, the vibes are high for Thunder fans. They've been high all season. You know, there was some seeds of doubt, you know, in that second round series for some Thunder fans. But, like, you know, we're here now. Like, you know, but like Kobe said, you know, job's not finished. So, we, you know, we're very excited, but, you know, we're eager to get started.
You know, I've been harping for weeks that we're seeing history. You know, only four teams ever won more regular season games than this OKC team. You know, you think about the Warriors who blew a lead in the finals. And I don't know if it's market size or elsewhere attention is drawn. You think it's possible this team not quite getting their due because this has been a monster of a season?
Yeah, it's really hard to say. I mean, you know, market size is, like, you know, kind of the go-to just because, like, ESPN, they just want to talk about the Lakers or the Warriors, like, throughout the season, even in the offseason. Like, they're still talking about the Warriors and the Lakers, even though they've both been eliminated from the playoffs. But, yeah, I mean, between that and all the just weird discourse about Shea and the way that he plays and how he's not as good as people think he is because he plays the game a certain way, and, you know, some people think that they're corny because they're young and they do weird things. I don't know. There's just – I agree with you. There's, like, a reluctance to embrace this team and to acknowledge and appreciate what they've done this season, not only what they've done this season, but what they're set up to do for the future as well.
You know, about a decade ago, the 76ers stunk and they pulled the trust the process. It turned out, yeah, don't trust that process. But this franchise under Sam Presti, who, for those not aware, kind of reared in the Spurs organization, I mean, five straight years, better, 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 better. What about the job he's done putting all these pieces together?
Oh, yeah, he's been phenomenal. Yeah, he's executive of the year for a reason. It's funny you bring up the trust the process shirt, or not trust the process shirt, the trust the process, because we made a shirt, you know, kind of invoking the process whenever the rebuild started, like back in 2021, and it was trust the Presti. And that was that was our saying for the rebuild. And, you know, obviously, going into that, Presti had pretty good draft luck at the time. You know, when you can draft three MVPs and, you know, back-to-back drafts. I'm sorry. You know, it's you feel pretty good about their standings. And, you know, he didn't draft, you know, three MVPs at this point. You know, who knows down the road? But, you know, we felt pretty good with his draft standing, and I feel like he's hit it out of the park. I mean, you know, looking at that first year in the 2021 draft, we had legit possibility of getting two top five picks with the way that our pick swaps worked out, and getting the sixth pick, and I think we had the 16 and the 18 pick, was like one of the worst case scenarios in terms of, you know, what we could have gotten. And the way that he was able to, you know, just kind of take that on the chin and then find Aaron Wiggins down in the rough and pick 55. And then the next year, you know, getting Chet Holmgren and Jalen Williams in the same draft, and then, you know, still getting quality depth piece and the other Jalen Williams and Usman Jang. And then the next draft to have the foresight to trade up, go get the guy that you want in Case Wallace. And he's been an absolute game wrecker, as we like to call him on the Top of Thunder podcast. So, yeah, Presti has hit and continues to hit on this draft. And, you know, it remains to be seen what Nikola Topic is going to be, but some of the weaknesses that kind of reared its head in the Nugget series, for instance, sometimes in the regular season in terms of, like, secondary creation or creation off the bench, Topic might fill in those needs. So this team could be even scarier next year if Topic pans out as well.
Talking with Dylan Hunsicker, Topic Thunder podcast. History says championship teams sometimes have to pay dues. You think about Jordan and the Bulls getting past the Pistons. Last year, OKC was the youngest one seed ever, lost a tough West semi to Dallas. You think, or has it been discussed, losing when they did last year maybe provided some fuel for the big step forward they've taken this season?
Oh, for sure. And it feels like just the identity of the team to just get better the next season. Like, going back to whenever Shea was first here, obviously, you know, he had the playoff year with Chris Paul. But after that, whenever the keys were handed over to him, the team improved every single season. And last year, he talked about it this year, how, you know, the rest he didn't do a good enough job of preparing the rest of the team for the playoffs whenever he's going to be taken out of the game and he needs them to step up. Because if you look at the numbers, Shea played phenomenal in the Western Conference semis last year. It was just the supporting cast wasn't quite ready. So throughout the season, while Shea put up this MVP season, he made sure to empower his teammates in different situations, late-game situations, clutch situations, so that when the playoffs came and their number was called because he was getting covered up, you know, double-team, triple-team, had a wall in the paint, they are ready to step up and show out, and they have done just that. So I definitely think that, you know, they maybe, like, sometimes, you know, you can have a chip on your shoulder, but if anything else, the Dallas Mavericks was a learning experience, just like this year the Denver Nuggets series was a learning experience in its own right.
You know, last June, of course, the Thunder sent Josh Giddey to the Bulls for Alex Caruso. It wasn't really a stop the presses moment like say, Luka for AD. And Giddey's a nice player, but he's a vet. He won it with L.A. in the bubble, and, of course, his tenacity on defense. What about what a, I almost want to say, a subtle, wise move that was by Presti?
Oh, no, we were thrilled in the Thunder, Thunder-like fan community whenever that trade happened, because, like, just a couple months prior in the trade deadline, it was being reported that Alex Caruso's trade value was thought to be 2 first-round picks. And, you know, you can kind of go back and forth on if you think Giddey is worth 2 picks in and of itself, but we thought that, you know, it would be Giddey and, like, another pick attached. Just being Giddey straight up, we were absolutely thrilled in the Thunder community. And, you know, there were some people that was kind of shaky throughout the regular season because Caruso wasn't getting the normal minutes that he usually played. And this is a guy that, again, like you said, he's won a championship. He's been an all-defensive team member a couple years. And it felt like we was really holding him back for the playoffs. And it definitely seems to be what it was, because – we had to kind of save Caruso from himself, because he is whenever he's on the floor, man, it doesn't matter if you're playing the Portland Trailblazers in game 37 of the season or if you're in game 7 of the finals, he's going to be diving on that floor, giving 120% every single play. And I really, like, his energy, his veteran leadership, like, a lot of these comebacks that have happened, you hear, like, behind the scenes, like, Caruso gathering his guys in the huddle, gathering guys in his locker room, like, hey, this game isn't over. Like, we can still come back and win this. And just his veteran leadership, like, off the court, is like more than enough worth that trade. But what he's been able to do on the court, not even just defensively, his shot making, he's made some huge shots in this playoff run, but defensively, you know, obviously the impact he's had with the steals and the deflections and, you know, being able to guard up against guys like Nikola Jokic and Julius Randle and Naz Reid and such. But also he's pouring into younger guys like Cason Wallace, and the fact that Cason Wallace is able to learn from Alex Caruso is a very scary prospect.
Talking OKC with the host of the Topic Thunder podcast, Dylan Hunsicker. As a Knicks fan, it pained me to see Isaiah Hartenstein depart. Some raised an eyebrow over the money, 3 years, $87 million. He was only 26, and of course, although it sounds crazy, $30 million a year is like jump change in the NBA. Dylan, what about all he's brought to the table for this team?
Yeah, it's, you know, the other thing that the Mavericks series kind of showed us is what we needed to get over the hump. One of those things was being, you know, trading Alex Caruso. Again, Josh Giddey's a great player. He just didn't really fit what we was trying to do. We wasn't able to play our best brand of basketball with him on the court, specifically defensively. And so that helped out. But bringing in Hartenstein, it shored up the rebounding and the physicality, the things that we were really missing in the Mavs series, because we got beat up in that series. And obviously, you know, he did a great job rebounding throughout the series, not even just like, you know, getting rebounds, but boxing out and creating rebounding opportunities for the team. But obviously bringing in the physicality, his screens have done a great job of freeing up Shea in the pick and roll and also freeing up Jalen Williams in the pick and roll. I think a big part of Jalen Williams' ascendancy into like an all-NBA player plays a little bit of a part in the way that Isaiah Hartenstein's been able to free him up. And the one thing, like, I've always kind of been against the prototypical center, or like the typical center in this day and age. Like, I'm more of like a four spacer. Like, I was a huge proponent of Chet at the five. So when people were throwing out all these players in the offseason, I wasn't crazy about any of them. But Hartenstein was the one that I was okay with just because of his playmaking ability. And I call it the heart hub. Whenever he gets in that short roll, he, you know, he has his back to the basket, and he's just looking for cutters, or he's trying to work straight out of the DHO. And he really does cook. And, you know, he gets some really good assists out of that, some scoring opportunities for his teammate. And defensively, he's also really good. And I was skeptical about the double big. I didn't really think that it would last all year long, but both of those guys have put in the work to, you know, make it work for this team and for them. So yeah, Isaiah Hartenstein has been purely additive, and I don't care if people think he's overpaid. We're in the finals, so he's worth every penny.
It's not our money. I want to get to somebody you mentioned in the 2022 draft where they got Chet Holmgren. Paolo Banchero went first. But at 12, the Thunder went again, and you mentioned Jalen Williams from Santa Clara, a pick they'd gotten from the Clippers in the Paul George deal. With Chet, he's now, you look at it, he's one of the three best players in that draft. What about the kind of all-star caliber player he's pretty quickly grown into?
Yeah, his rise this year, like his rise in his career has just been crazy, you know, and it goes right with the identity of the team of getting better every year, and of Shai getting better every year. And right from the moment that he joined the Oklahoma City Thunder, Shai kind of took him under his wing. And I think you've seen the dividends of that in his career and the way that he's able to grow and develop each year. And this year, like, you know, he's done a really good job of, you know, playmaking off of the bench. Like, whenever Shai is, you know, on the bench and he's kind of the main guy, there was questions about that, kind of like late in the season last year, but he really took ownership of that role this year. And it's in the fourth quarter, like we call him fourth quarter dub sometimes, but in the fourth quarter, whenever Shai is on the bench at the beginning of the fourth quarter, a lot of times Jalen Williams is able to extend leads to where Shai doesn't have to come back on the court. He can get the extra rest and we can pick up the W that way, or he's able to eat into deficits that way, that, you know, you have the opportunity to win the game whenever Shai's on there, you know, comes back in and add the knockout blow. And you add into his defense. I'm so glad that he got recognized as an All-NBA defender this year, because, you know, at 6'6", you know, arms are a mile long with a 7'2 wingspan, and just strong as an ox. You talk about, like, I think the term can garb 1 through 5 gets thrown around way too much in this league, but if there's one player that can actually do it, and we've seen do it, Jalen Williams is that guy. Whenever Hartenstein and Chet were hurt earlier this year, he was our center, for lack of a better term, and he more than held his own. So yeah, I can't say enough about Jalen Williams. Two-way force, and, you know, I'm very pleased to have him on our team.
Yeah, the conversation out here in the West was, man, Santa Clara ain't had a guy like that since Steve Nash.
Yeah.
And of course, the MVP, SGA, also part of that Paul George deal we talked about. Three straight seasons averaging more than 30, joining James Harden and Michael Jordan, only guards ever to do that. And I'm not going to put him as an all-NBA defender, but he's disruptive. You see him game in, game out. What about the way he's just grown into the elite player we're now seeing on the league's ultimate stage?
Man, he is just the epitome of going out and getting it. Like, hard work can, you know, take you where you want to go, because I'm a Kentucky fan. I live in Kentucky, so I was following Shai like as like a junior in high school whenever he first committed to the Cats, and the leap that he made from junior year to senior year, and then from senior year up to his freshman year, a lot of people don't remember, like, he was the backup guard for that Kentucky team, and he turned himself into a lottery pick, the number 11 pick in the draft that next year. And I was saying that until I was blue in the face on my podcast whenever Paul George was traded, you know, trying to hype up Shai about, you don't get to that point from being a backup guard to being, you know, the lottery pick in the NBA draft without hard work. And luckily he's made me sound smart, because every year he just continues to improve. He continues to add a little something to his game. I feel like he's one of the best shot makers in the history of the league, just in the fact that he can get to his spots whenever he wants, over whatever defense he wants, over whatever defender he wants. He can get to the rim. He's starting to add a three-point shot to his game with the step back and the pull-ups and everything. And as you said, defensively, like I think the all-defense nods kind of gets a little bit overblown. But as an off-ball defender, in terms of being a disruptor and, you know, helping on the weak side, whether it's blocks or jumping the passing lane for the steals, I think he's very underrated as a defender in that regard. But, yeah, man, he's been I thought he should have won MVP last year. I think he's very deserving this year. And I think that the world is finally starting to pay attention to the ascension of, like, an all-time player in Shai Gilgeous-Alexander. And people don't realize, like, he's still just 26 years old. Right. He's just starting to enter his prime. It's only going to get better.
And the last thing I want to get to is overall this defense. And you could talk about points against, steals, the analytics, but what impresses me is they don't lack in any area on that end of the floor, be it protecting the rim, how they quickly get into their transition defense. And again, you see them all the time. Just how lethal is this defense?
Oh, it's impossible. I think Ramona Shelburne put out an article about the Thunder, about Lou Dort specifically, like the captain of our defense. And, you know, asked him, like, why do you don't talk trash? And he's like, I don't feel the need to talk trash because I know they're in hell right now. And that's what it's like to play against Oklahoma City Thunder defense. There was a possession in which Anthony Edwards was trying to hunt switches, like, in this last series. And he got the switch off of Lou Dort onto Alex Caruso. He tried to run another switch. It was back to Kaysom Wallace. Tried another run another switch. It was Jalen Williams. Like, no matter where you turn, like, there is no out. Like, Shai is probably in, like, our top seven, probably, like, our worst defender, quote-unquote, but he's still more than capable of, you know, locking down one-on-one in a possession and also, you know, kind of blowing up the passing lanes on the off-ball. But, you know, it kind of goes back to, I think it was 2018, back whenever we still had Paul George, Andre Robertson, Jeremy Grant, and co. And it was, I can't remember. Oh, Matt Moore, Hardwood Paroxysm on Twitter. He called the defense a havoc generator, which that kind of stuck with me back then. But to look at this team's defense, which is like 20 times that defense, like it's one of, like, it is the best defense of all time, in my eyes. If there is no other, like, more apt description than a havoc generator, just a deliverer of chaos, like, just like, you know, this team leads the league in the most, like, 10, like, double digit to nothing runs in, like, the history of the league, and they do that off of defense, off of creating turnovers. Like, as soon as you cross the half court line, sometimes Caruso's right in your face, Kaysom's in your face, Dort's drawing a screen, Shai or Dub is like blowing up the passing lane. And then if you get to the next level, you have Chet Holmgren there, you have Isaiah Hartenstein there bodying up, you have the other Jalen Williams drawing a charge. Like, it's, you get no breaks on defense against this team.
Folks, he's Dylan Hunsinger. Check out the Topic Thunder podcast, part of the Believe Network on the X platform. It's at OKC Topic Thunder. For our guest, it's at Thunder Chats. Dylan, awesome stuff. Great having you. Appreciate the time. Enjoy the finals, be it against my Knicks or the stinking Pacers. Thanks a million, and look forward to catching up again down the road.
Of course, man. I appreciate you having me, and Thunder up.
All right. Have a good one.